Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
We've got a family thing that we do. We've got vacations today. And as a church, we don't baptize infants. We choose to dedicate our children to the Lord. And the reason we do that is, I like to use 2 Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, you know, after the people were cut to the heart, they said, "What should we do to be saved?" And Peter answers, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the promise of the Father." Well, there's an order there, and it seems like it's hard for a child to repent. I mean, they're still wetting their diapers, and they're still pooping their pants, and, you know, you ever have the diaper off, and they go at an inconvenient time, you know, I mean, how do they repent? And so you repent and be baptized, and so baptism is something that we believe that a believer does. We believe in a believer's baptism, that when you've had a cutting to the heart, when there has been something that the truth of who we are without God, and we come into the revelation of who we can be with God, and we receive salvation, and we have repented, then we be baptized. But dedication is more along the lines of what Hannah did with Samuel, the prophet. When Samuel was born, after a time, she came and presented him to the Lord and really gave Samuel over for a lifetime of service to God. And so we've got two children that we're going to dedicate this morning. And it's something that we will ask the parents some questions and encourage them to state their intention of how they're going to raise their children. But it's also something that we as a body witness and take part in. How many know that you all have something to do with the children in this church? You might not teach Sunday school. Maybe you should be teaching Sunday school. But you might not even know some of these children, but there is the principle of inheritance, and the children in this house are our inheritance. They're the ones that are going to carry the baton long after we're gone. And so we have responsibility as a group of people, as a church, to sow into our children. So with that, I want to call forward the families of Trinity Overly, Ben and Joanna, grandparents, come on up. Anybody else that's with Ben and Joanna that are here? And Justice Mayberry, Sarah and Joe, and parents, sister, come on up. Family, oh, you want to take pictures? Well, Grandma, come on up. My grandson. Well, Justice David Anthony. Justice, the literal meaning of justice is righteous, just and fair. His godly characteristic is the justice of God. David, the literal meaning is Christ love. The godly characteristic is following the Spirit. And Anthony is the priceless one. Godly characteristic is the valued counselor. So that's justice. Then we have Trinity. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody bounce as much as this little girl does. She loves to bounce. And Trinity's name means, literal meaning, is threefold. And her godly characteristic is a peaceful spirit. Her middle name is Eliza. Eliza. My mistake. And the literal meaning is joyful one. Godly characteristic is the joyful one in the oath of God, the promise of God. So I'm going to ask you Joe and Sarah, having dedicated Justice, will you as her parents bring him up in accordance with the doctrines and the teachings of the Holy Bible so that he may grow up in the knowledge of the Lord? If so, say yes by the grace of God. Ben and Joanna, having dedicated Trinity, will you as parents bring her up in accordance with the doctrines and the teachings of the Holy Bible so that she may grow up in the knowledge of the Lord? If so, say yes by the grace of God. Okay. Won't we extend our hands towards them? I'm going to encourage parents, grandparents, to go ahead and pray as we dedicate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you have a prayer? Anybody have a prayer for?
Father in heaven, we are so grateful for our son and his lovely wife and the precious little one you've given them. And as parents of these two, grandparents of the precious life of Trinity, we ask that you would give them wisdom and fortitude and grace to walk in the Spirit of God and to fulfill the promises of the Word of God, that this little one would love Jesus and live out her days to his honor and glory, and that Ben and Joe would have the presence of mind and the Spirit of God to enable them to live an example that she can clearly see and follow. Help us as grandparents to support them in this, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Father, we bless Justice too. God, we thank you for who he is. God, that he is going to be a man of justice. He's going to bring justice into situations, God, that need correction, that need the justice of God. We bless him in Jesus' name. Father, as we dedicate these children, we as a congregation will commit to providing teaching, nourishment, example. God, everything that we can do as a body to bless these children, Father, we now dedicate them to you for your service, for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. All right. Thank you. Congratulations. Ben? Ben? Take that. Sarah? Yeah, this too. All right. I have a word on my heart. I was planning on preaching one thing, and as I was going to bed last night, I mean, I had turned out the lights. Susie was in bed with me, and had the covers up over my head, and I was just ready to crash. And the Lord just dropped a phrase into my heart that just triggered something. I believe it's for the body here this morning. One of the things that I believe that I want to do this morning is to encourage you in your most holy faith. Something that Ken just shared, I don't believe it's just Ken that's been going through some trials of his faith. I remember back, a couple months ago, I preached out of 1 Peter where it says that if need be, we're being harassed by various trials, we're being distressed by various trials. Why? So that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, would be found to the glory. And Trudy, hi. Why don't you stand up, say hi to everybody. There's Trudy. Yeah, yeah. Welcome. I'm sorry. It's funny how it can just, never mind. But our faith can be found to the glory and to the honor and to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our faith, your faith, unless your faith is tested, unless your faith is tried, it's really not faith. In other words, when God has dropped something into your heart, when God has given you a promise, when God has challenged you with something, no matter what it is, that until that thing gets tried, you really don't know that it's faith. That there is a sense that God will, at times, withhold his voice just to give you enough time to breathe and to see, Ken, what's in your heart? And, you know, Ken is a faithful man. And it doesn't depend for him, it doesn't depend on whether he's hearing the word of God or not. He is going to be faithful. And the reason Ken's going to be faithful is because he has been tried by God before. And Ken has testimony that backs up God's faithfulness. See, and we have faith in God because of his faithfulness. He will always prove himself faithful before we have to walk in faith. If you're going through circumstances, if you're going through situations where your faith is being tried, I want to encourage you, pull upon the testimony. Examine the faithfulness of God in your life up to this point. And if you can't find, you know, if you're anything like me, when I'm going through the thick of things, it's hard to find a testimony. You ever notice that? Anybody else ever do that? Oh, it's just me. It's just me, you know. It's like I can remember all sorts of testimonies when things are great and I'm just glorying and reveling in the presence of God. But then it's like, you know, you go through those seasons, you go through those times where you're just not quite hearing. And it's like, where did the testimony go? You're in good company. Psalm 77. Well, let's start in verse 1. We'll probably read most of the psalm. Psalm 77, verse 1. This is a psalm of Asaph, who was one of the psalmists in the Word. He was a worship leader and awesome man of God. It says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Think of that. Meditate upon that. Think upon the fact that some of the great men of God, this was a guy that was worshiping in the restoration of David's temple and the Davidic worship. He was serving under a guy who knew God in such an incredible way. Israel was in the middle of a revival. I mean, everything that they did just went right. Every battle that they fought, they won, with the exception of just a very few. And the word of the Lord was so loudly spoken. I mean, David would just ask, should I go to war? And then he'd hear, yeah, go to war, and then this is how you do it. How many would like to hear God that clearly? How many want strategy in your life? And so this was a time that they were just enjoying, and yet I want to submit to you that there were times, even in revival, there were times, even when God's voice was very loud and speaking very plainly, there were times that they came into what we just read. Meditate upon that. I remembered, I mean, my soul refused to be comforted. Is there anybody who, no matter what happens, it's like your soul is just in turmoil? And have you asked the question, God, where is this joy that I'm supposed to be walking in? Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, you know, and it's like the joy just kind of went out the back door somewhere and you don't know where to find it. And if you're in amongst people, of course, you come to church and you put on a nice happy face and you say, well, I'm just so joyful in the Lord, you know. I mean, as a pastor, I have a responsibility to put on the joy of the Lord when I come in. You don't know sometimes how I was just the day before. And I'm not saying that I do that as a sham. There is a grace as a pastor to preach some things that sometimes you just feel like, man, what am I doing with this? You know, if I had to preach to you and all I could preach is out of my experience, my message would be about that long in a message that is really this wide. So I want to encourage you that even as a pastor, there are times I go through stuff. I go through things. That shouldn't surprise you. There are times where my soul just refuses to be comforted. Think on that. This is an awesome God who wrote, I mean, an awesome guy who wrote, I don't even know how many psalms. Probably Luke, do you know how many psalms Asaph wrote? It was a good share of them. I mean, he wrote as many, if not more, than David, I believe. And yet this guy, he complained and his spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled I can't speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. See, he's talking there about the testimony of how they brought him out of Egypt, how as a people, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. He's recalling all of God's faithfulness and all the battles that have brought him up to now, the ancient times. He's recalling everything that's in here that he's recalling. You know, it's for you to recall. The scripture says that everything happened in the Old Testament was it happened for our learning. It's so that we can learn, be enriched, and grow by it. That the deliverance from Egypt, the deliverance from Pharaoh was as much for you and me today as it was for the people who were in bondage in Egypt. And so the psalmist is recalling in the middle of his misery, in the middle of this thing that he's going through where his faith is being tested, he's understanding that, oh man, but I'm recalling God's faithfulness to my people. I'm recalling God's faithfulness in the ancient times. But then he asked some questions. And I want to ask you, have you ever asked these questions? Will the Lord cast off forever? How many have dreams in their heart? How many have dreams that, you know, God has just spoken some things and they just seem so far off right now? How many have dreams that God has spoken and it's like as soon as he spoke them, everything else went south? You know, this is just reality of walking in faith. I want to encourage you. If you're in a situation like that, it doesn't mean that you're bad. It doesn't mean that you're losing it. It doesn't mean that you're in disobedience necessarily. That might be the case, but probably not. Probably if you have a real dream in your heart, there's going to be opposition that's going to come against it, that's going to test your faith and to see what's in your heart. Will the Lord cast off forever? I've asked that question. See, I have some things in my heart about revival and seeing God just move in ways that declare his glory in very, very significant ways. How many know that's a good dream? That's a good dream. And yet I'm not seeing what the dream is in my heart. There have been times, believe me, I've asked, oh God, are you going to cast off forever? Are you just going to withhold your hand forever? When are we going to see you start to raise Kevin up out of the wheelchair, start to see my wife's ears opened up? What are we going to start to see? The works that I know are in your heart to do. Oh God, are you going to cast off forever? And I'm so grateful. We've seen miracles in this place. We've seen backs healed. We saw a lady 15 years of a fused spine straightened out to where she could hold her baby again. She could bend down and touch her toes. Impossible. And we've seen that. We've seen legs grow. We've seen knees. We've seen it. And yet there's something in my heart that's saying, but God, there's so much more. See, the dream in my heart is when we have a body of believers that'll walk out of this place encouraged enough to go and pray for the person that's next to them in the workstation. To see somebody on the street that just is in pain and lay hands on and see miracles. My desire isn't that all the miracles stay in this house. My desire is to see the miracles happen in your life outside of the house. That's my confidence. That's my boast. That's my faith. In fact, I get more excited when I see you laying hands on people and seeing them raised up than when I lay hands on people. I really do. I didn't pray for the lady that had the curvature of the spine healed. That was somebody else that pressed into that. But how long, oh God, how long before I start to see those things become reality? How long before I start to see the things that are in the book that says that we do become commonplace, become a way of life, become lifestyle? It becomes an extension of Christ in us, the hope of glory. How long, oh God? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has anybody asked these questions? I'll just be honest with you. When there is a trial of your faith, it's called a trial of your faith for a purpose, because it's a trial of your faith. It is going to test your faith. You're going to ask these kinds of questions that sound like you don't have any faith at all. But you know, those are really questions of faith. Those are questions that are saying, God, I know that your mercy is real. Where is it? God, I know that I know that I know your faithfulness endures forever. Where is your faithfulness? I've got to see it. See, this is a man with some experience. This is somebody who his faith was being tested. His faith was being tried. Some people call this the dark soul, the dark night of the soul. Anybody had a dark night of the soul? Now, I'm preaching the good news. If you're just a new Christian and you haven't come into these things yet, enjoy the ride. Right, Ken? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Think about that. Are these the questions that have come across your plate in life? I guarantee you, if you're willing to get out of the easy chair of religiosity and form and ritual and start walking on this pursuit of the unseeable, of the impossible, of the things that you and I can't do in the natural, if you're getting out of the easy chair of religion and pursuing this God who loves you so much and doesn't just love you, he loves the person you're working with. He loves the daughter and the son that's strayed from God right now. And if you're willing to get out of the easy chair of religion and pursue, I can almost guarantee you that you'll come across questions like this. Oh God, was I crazy? Sure was nice back in that easy chair. Verse 10. The psalmist has a revelation. He has an epiphany. He has a kind of one of those aha moments. And I said, this is my anguish. The word anguish there can actually be translated infirmity. How many remember a few weeks ago I preached on Isaiah chapter 53 and we talked about the infirmities, that he bore our infirmities upon his own body. Remember that? That's this word. He bore our anguish upon the tree. Remember, the prophet was looking and he was seeing somebody who was so brutalized, somebody who was so beat up, somebody who was so marred and mangled that he was beyond recognition. There was nothing beautiful in him. There was nothing that would attract him. And the prophet was seeing Jesus being brutalized for us. But he was also seeing the anguish of his soul. How many know that Jesus didn't have anguish in his soul? Until he took your anguish. Until he took my anguish. Jesus didn't know anguish until he took ours. and I have been crucified with Christ. When I was crucified with Christ in 1978, 33 years ago, my anguish went on the cross with him. And I'll tell you, there are times I want to take it back. I don't know why. I haven't figured that one out yet. But for some reason, we want to take our anguish back. But here it is. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. And here's the verse that God dropped into my heart last night, verse 13. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. There's a difference between the works of God and the ways of God. The works of God are submitted to the ways of God. The ways of God are found in his character. The ways of God are an extension of who he is. The ways of God, see, I knew my father, my natural father. And my natural father, I knew his ways. I knew the way he thought. I could even use it to my advantage at times to get away with stuff because I knew his ways. And my father was very consistent in his ways. So that when I saw my father's actions, when I saw his deeds, when I saw his works, I knew that it was in line with who he is. Foundationally, who my father was. I never saw my father drunk because he didn't drink. That wasn't in his ways. It would have been a shock to me to have ever seen my father abuse my mother. It would have been a shock because it wasn't in his ways. And I knew my father's ways. On the other hand, I knew some of his ways that when we'd go out and I'd go to work with him and he was self-employed. He delivered cookies, candies, and peanuts to little ma and pa shops. How many know that's a good job? Especially if you're a kid on the truck with him. And I knew it wasn't too hard to talk my dad because I knew his ways, and I knew that he liked sweets as much as I did. I knew it wasn't too tough to get him to break open a bag of that candy. And we'd start to eat up the profits, you know? But because I knew my father's ways, I knew his actions. And see, God is raising up a people that know his ways. We know his heart. We know his character. We know that everything that he does out of the fruit of the Spirit. That it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That out of those things, whenever I see something that looks like my father, I know it's because that's the way he is. And we look at the different works that are happening in the nation, and some people are scratching their head, well, is this an act of God or isn't this an act of God? I want to encourage us that when it smells like Jesus, when it looks like Jesus, when it has the fruit of Jesus, it's Jesus. But if it's got the stench of the wicked one, it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. Should I watch this television show or shouldn't I watch this television show? Well, let's see. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. So, well, I want to, you know. Can I just say that some of that stuff doesn't have the fragrance of Christ? It doesn't have to be Christian to have the fragrance of Christ. One of my favorite movies is Cars. I know I'm getting outdated. I got to look at the second one now. But I cry every time the new car, the young car, pushes the old car across the finish line. I cry. Why? Because I see the fragrance of Christ in that. I see some cocky young guy that's been broken to the place where he has an honor and respect for another generation of race cars who gets brutalized by a cocky race car, and he just gives up everything that he has lived for, stops this far short of the finish line, goes back and picks up the other car, the crippled old car, and races and pushes him across. I don't know, that does something to me. Your ways, O God, are in your sanctuary. See, we can either chase God's works or we can live in his ways. We can taste his ways. We can know his ways. We can live and dwell in and be encompassed about by his ways. You can know that God is good. You can know that out of his goodness, he's going to do good things. You can know that because he is good, that he's going to discipline us and chasten us. And sometimes we go through stuff that isn't very pleasant, and I know it's by the hand of my Father. I went through something last week. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I did something that was not right. I guess we'd call it sin. And God put his finger on it through the aid of some other people. How many are grateful for our wives? I mean, other people. She was seeing an inconsistency in my life. And she brought it to my attention. And by the grace of God, I said, oh, God, that's right. And I realized that it was the hand of God that was pointing something out to me that was inconsistent with his ways. It was inconsistent with his character. What I was doing wasn't birthed out of love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and all the fruits of the Spirit. It didn't have that same smell. And I had to repent. I had to undo some things that I did. And the discipline of the Lord, it wasn't pleasant. In fact, I didn't just jump up and down when I first heard that I was doing this. I didn't just jump up and down and say, oh, hallelujah! You know, she's found me out, and now I can repent. Hooray! I didn't. That wasn't my response. But as I began to understand that this was God's hand upon me, and it doesn't really matter who God used to point it out to me, it was God's chastening in my life. It was his discipline in my life that was saying, Dave, you're my son. And you need to reflect my glory. Dave, you need to look like me. You need to smell like me. It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it, Dave, because you are my son. And as my son, I love you. And as my son, I will discipline you. As my son, I will bring you into a place where you will want to reflect my glory. Your ways, O God, are in the sanctuary. The sanctuary is a sanctified place. The sanctuary is a hidden place. The sanctuary is a holy place. A holy place is something that's been separated and dedicated. See, my life has been separated and dedicated to my God. My life is a sanctuary. My heart is a sanctuary for my God. And his ways are found in the sanctuary. If your sanctuary is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, I'll tell you, it's a hard place to hear from. But the way that your heart becomes soft is through trials, through testings. It's through the challenging of your faith. It's when God takes and shows what's in your heart. See, through that chastening, I began to see something that was in my heart. I realized that my actions weren't lining up with what was in my heart. My actions weren't in tune with what was in the sanctuary of my heart. Because in the sanctuary of my heart, I want to please God. And I believe you do too. You know, I'm not the only one that wants to please God because I'm the pastor. That's not it. If you're born again, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, if he is calling you son, if he's calling you daughter, then there is something inside of you. It's called the seed of God. It's called the sperm of God. The very DNA, the very nature of God has been placed in your heart, into the sanctuary of your heart. You're no longer, you're not mere men. You're not mere women. You are a new creation created in Christ Jesus to reflect his glory, to look like him, to smell like him, to live like him. Oh, but Dave, how could I ever live like him? Now, you don't understand, Jesus. I'll tell you what, there's a power and there's an authority and there is an anointing on you to walk differently than the way everybody else walks. What is it that's going to change our world? What is it that's going to change our nation? I'll tell you, it's not religion. It's not the stuff that is easy in an armchair just to hang out in. We sang about it this morning. His love is, I'd have to read the words again. Fierce. His love is strong. His love is wild. His love is furious. He is intentional about loving you. And he's intentional about loving you, and loving people through you and through you. How do you like your new do? I got to get me one of them. Oh, it's not the color of the hair. It's what's beneath it, you know. And there's a great heart beneath that hair. Your ways, O God, are in the sanctuary. It's through intimacy. It's through this thing. It's through this relationship that you and I have been privileged to come into. It's this sanctuary. It's this set-aside place. It's this place of intimacy. It's this place of holiness. That's where we find the ways of our daddy. See, I'm not going to learn the ways of my daddy by looking at somebody else, even somebody good like Ken who just went through some things, and I'll learn some things about God. But I will never experience what Ken experienced until I go through an experience like Ken went through. I wish I could just learn it through everybody else's experience, but I'll tell you, your experiences are your own. Your intimacy, this invitation into relationship with a living and loving God, that's your own. That's not something I can do for you. What are the ways of God? You know, when you know the ways of God, you can get God to do things. I'm not saying manipulate and controlling. I'm saying when you understand his ways and you know what moves his heart, that you can position yourself in a way of prayer, in a way of intimacy, like Abraham did, who said, oh God, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Won't you spare them for five people, you know, 50, five? Won't you spare them? Abraham was tapping into an intimate place in God's heart where he knew there was mercy. God, I know there's mercy in there. I know your ways are ways of mercy. And God, I'm going to get into your heart and I'm going to move you by asking you for mercy. You can move the heart of God by knowing his ways. You can move the heart of God by living in the sanctuary. Your ways, O God, are in the sanctuary. You know, this is a sanctuary. This is a place that is set apart. When we built this building, we dedicated this sanctuary. I spend a lot of time in here just in worship. When nobody else is here, I play the music and I worship. Why? Because this is a sanctuary. And I long for the presence of God to be so encounterable in this place that I want to take and I just want to spend time in the sanctuary. And there are times in this sanctuary where I get to know the ways of God. The sanctuary can be a place. I've experienced God at different places. I experienced God for the first time before I knew God. I was still smoking dope, sitting on the edge of a cliff, smoking dope with a friend. But that was the sanctuary of God. All I knew was, wow, there must be a God. Why? Because I was seeing his ways. The heavens were declaring his work. The whole earth was showing forth his handiwork. The mountains, the streams, the valley, the cliff that I was sitting on, the eagle that was soaring down beneath me. It was declaring the glory of God. And that was a sanctuary. His sanctuary isn't limited. Where will I go from your spirit? Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's joy. And the spirit of the Lord can be in a jail cell. It was for Paul and Silas. Your ways, O God, are in your sanctuary. I want to submit to you that a sanctuary becomes a sanctuary by where your heart's at. I want to submit to you that there's an invitation. This invitation of love that we receive, settle it in your heart. It's because he wants your heart to be a hallowed place. He wants your heart to be a holy place. He wants your heart to be a separated place. He wants your heart to be a place that is set aside where he can invade you with his glory, where he can invade you with his love, where he can invade you with his mercy and his kindness, his gentleness, his compassion. How many want to be a sanctuary? How many want to be a target? You know, paint a big old bullseye on my back that says sanctuary. I could live with that. I do live for that. More than anything else, I live for that. I don't always act like that. But I tell you, when it comes right down to the innermost part of my being, when it comes right down to the bottom of my heart, when I recall the testimonies of my God, when I recall what he's done in my life, when I come through a season where I'm not hearing his voice, when I'm coming through a season where I say, how long, oh God? How long do I need to wait? How many know that he's got a different timetable than we do? And how many know in the urgency of the hour, he's not in a hurry? My heart's desire, my longing, is that we'd be a people who know his ways. We'd be a people that are very, very familiar with his sanctuary, the sanctuary of our hearts. See, sometimes your actions, your deeds will tell you, oh man, my heart's not a very clean sanctuary. But I want to tell you that because he became sin who knew no sin so that you could become the righteousness of God in him has made you a clean and an open sanctuary where you can know his ways. We can enjoy his works. But there's something about enjoying his works, their past, their testimony, valuable, valuable. But it's not the same as living in a sanctuary for now and for the future. The sanctuary is to know his ways so that we know how we're going to walk from this day forward. The purpose of my message this morning is to encourage you in your most holy faith. I was going to read the whole book or the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews, where you examine faith. You know that every one of those that came through in faith, they came through because they had a season where they weren't hearing the voice of the Lord. How many think for Abraham it was a piece of cake to go 25 years from the point of the promise to the point where Isaac was born? How many think it was a piece of cake in between there? And how many see that Abraham messed up? I'll make this happen. I'll just, you know, Sarah, you're good. You're my wife. You're okay. But hey, you know, I've got another incubator here. Let's just make a way here. And Isaac was, or Ishmael was born. How many think it was easy for Noah? He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. 120 years believing there was going to be a rainstorm that was going to be significant enough that he'd need a big boat, that he had to build a big boat to save the human race in a land that was probably desert and that had never seen rain before. How many think he asked these questions? God, am I nuts? Did I really hear this? Are you going to cast off forever? Won't you be favorable anymore? I'm me and my sons, man, we're cutting the timbers and we're shaping them and we're putting them in place, but God, I look like a fool. Everybody around me is telling me I'm crazy. They're telling me I didn't hear God. You had anybody? Have you ever felt pressure from the wise world that what you believe is crazy? Most of television will tell you you're crazy. Most of the advertising tells you you're crazy. Most of our encounters outside of this room will tell you you're crazy. But what does the sanctuary of your heart say? When it comes right down to it, in the voice, all the voices, there's one voice that is very quiet. It's very still. Sometimes it's hard to hear. That voice is in the sanctuary saying, these are my ways. Walk in them. Whether it's to build an ark for 120 years, or whether it's for a mom and dad to risk being murdered by Pharaoh by hiding their son, who they looked on him, Hebrews says, and they saw that he is a righteous son. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That substance and that evidence is found in the sanctuary. Sometimes it's hard to identify. But that substance and that evidence is what's in the sanctuary of your heart. It's the bottom line of who you are. It's the foundational rock on which you base your life. I am laying my life on the line that what I believe about my God and my Savior is very, very true, very, very real. I want to take a few moments. You know, in my heart, I've said July is going to be a month of the Holy Spirit. We just plain flat out don't plan what's going to happen. I didn't plan the worship service this morning, but yet it's so dovetailed with the message for today. And I didn't plan. I didn't tell Ken what to preach, but it so dovetails. And a lot of times we have a lot more words that come forward. We have had for the last 2 weeks. Have you noticed that? Wonderful. 10, 15 people have come up and just shared their hearts. Today was different. I knew it was going to be different. Mainly because God had so birthed this word in my heart. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to take maybe 5 minutes and pray for one another. I know this is really a stretch for some people. It's really uncomfortable. But pray with your husband, with your wife. If you've got a family, pray together. If you're here alone, jump in with somebody else. And here's what I want you to pray. I just want you to pray that, number one, that we as a body, that you would encounter the love of God in such a tangible way in this place of the sanctuary of your heart. Just pray for one another. Go ahead, let's stand together. 5 minutes, 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Just pray for one another. Find somebody, find a spouse, find somebody that's alone. And just release the love of God on one another. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Deb, could you pray with this lady? Introduce yourself. And this is nothing threatening. It's just loving on one another. Just look around you. Make sure everybody is praying with somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Just bless one another. Just release love on one another. You each carry a very, very significant part of the love of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, your blessing. Release your blessing. Release your love. Father, release encouragement. God, release the strengthening with might in the inner man. Pour out. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we bless you. Your ways, O God, are in the sanctuary, that secret place. Father, restore hope. Restore hope. Restore hope. Restore confidence, God, in your character, the beauty of your holiness, the faithfulness of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ignite, 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 ignite an explosion, God, of hope. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. I've asked Leslie to come and close the service and to release the teams, so she's just going to take it from here.
Thank you, Father. You know, there was such a call today just for God. He wants to shower his love on us. And there was a picture on Thursday about refreshing. And we just want to let you know, of course, when we have needs, physical needs, financial needs, anything, you can come up. The prayer teams will be here, and you can come up, and we're standing with you, and we're calling in God's favor and answers. But you know, sometimes we just, don't you just want a touch from God? You just want to say, God, I just want to have a special close time with you, some refreshing. So you know what? Any morning is a time. It's okay to come and have a refreshing touch from God. And especially today, because that was on his heart. So if the prayer teams will come up, and if you want to come up, you don't have anything in a particular. You just want to have a special time with God. Come on up. He's ready.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.